Take a nice deep breath and relax into your chair. Let's take another deep breath and release it with an audible sigh. Let's do that again. One more time. And really feel the sense of your own presence right here and right now. And take your attention right down to your lower belly, below your belly button. You can even put your hand there if you like on your belly. And just imagine that you're breathing through that space, clear, beautiful red, flowing beautifully as you sense that you are safe, secure in this space. Let your breath take your attention just up to your belly button. Breathing a beautiful, clear orange. With the sense that the source of ultimate creativity that brought you here flows through you and expresses creatively through you. And let your breath take you up above your belly button near your solar plexus. As you breathe through clear golden yellow with a joyful sense of your own agency in this time and space. As your breath takes you up into your heart space, as you breathe through that space, seeing a delightful clear green that expands out, fills with love, fills with connection. And lifts all of the energy from below up into your throat. As you breathe through there, a lovely blue. And you sense your ability to speak your truth and to give and receive love freely. As your attention moves up to your third eye, the center of your forehead and your brain, a deep indigo flowing freely as you see all of those energies below from a new light, a new perspective, embracing, encompassing, enveloping them all. As your attention moves to the crown of your head, breathing a lovely violet with the sense that you are connected to all that is and that all of the energies below are flowing freely up and down, in and out, connecting you to divine mind, connecting you to everyone in this room, into your own true self. Take a nice deep breath in and out. And let your attention move back into this space. Awareness of your body and your chair. Bringing all of that with you. Realizing that we just took a nice little walk through our own stages of development. When you're ready, open your eyes And let's join in some discussion about that. You know, we live in an extraordinary time that allows us to develop rapidly through stages of development, as represented by the chakras. We develop through stages of development, across streams of development, such as physical, cognitive, emotional, social, psychological, spiritual. Those all may be at different levels. I've talked about this before. You know I like this stuff. Coinciding and interpenetrating those stages and those streams, we have the pleasure of enjoying different states of awareness as well, just as we did in that meditation. We altered our state of awareness for a few brief moments that now impacts what we do next. We may experience different brain waves, the beta brain waves, where we're active and interactive and getting stuff done and doing our daily stuff and thinkity-think-think. Alpha waves, we're more focused and we can block things out and really be focused on one thing and accomplish something. Theta, where we're in more of a trance state and we're able to absorb and download without a lot of effort, as children do all the time. Delta, where we may sleep, or we may enter another kind of consciousness there. But those different states can be doorways to a unitive consciousness, peak experiences, really powerful experiences that I think a lot of people have probably experienced at some point in our life. We've climbed a mountain and seen things in a different way, and it really impacted us and shifted our awareness. It changed our paradigm. In those different states, we may experience an interaction, a melding, a connection with the divine that we don't always in our day-to-day lives. And then as we return to our everyday awareness, those state experiences are interpreted by the stage of development we are currently most solidly sitting at, where our center of gravity is in our development. Although those experiences can facilitate a shift, can help us move up in our development, and a move up is always broader, more inclusive. Broader, more inclusive. We elevate, we expand as we develop our consciousness. Something can happen to us in some of those at times, however. And you may be able to identify with this. Sometimes when we have a peak experience, as we interpret it through our stage of development at the moment, if it's, especially if it's related to religion, a dogma, a strong personality, we can think, oh, I found it. I found the truth. I found the truth. You know, this occurred in many of the people in my past church affiliation. Upon discovering that it was not Jesus, but the Council of Nicaea that changed Sabbath to Sunday, or dropped the holy days for co-opting the pagan holidays for their own political expediency. This was kind of a surprise to some people. They were kind of excited, maybe, to see a pattern in the biblical holy days that fit their interpretation of what God's plan might be for mankind. And while it may have been a developmental step up for them at that time from where they had been and the way they were seeing the world, the experience of this as the truth made it hard to move on and grow if your awareness started to elevate and expand beyond just that interpretation. You know, this can happen with anything. We can learn about evolution and become as dogmatic about our belief in the origins and source of the physical universe as any fundamentalist Christian or Islamic literalist, or Buddhist, or Hindu. You know, there's a level of development where we all kind of look the same, no matter what our religious beliefs tend to be. In the context of my religious history, one of the most cherished beliefs is that Christ, the anointed one of God, in the person of Jesus, has died to reconcile humankind to the Creator, because we got unreconciled at some point, and will return to earth one day to usher in the kingdom of heaven on earth, where all will enjoy a world of justice, of peace, of love, of harmony. I don't know about you, but it sounds pretty darn good. And in fact, most of us experience that hope and that dream for the world, no matter what our dogma might be, even if it's the not-so-dogmatic dogma of A Course in Miracles, or the not-so-dogmatic dogma of New Thought Principle, or whatever. The idea that we could actually all live in harmony and peace together is dear to us. And it was a big boon to the people that I grew up with, because it was a big shift from the idea that, you know, you either die and go to heaven, or you're going to be burning in hell forever, tormented. So the idea of a utopian kingdom of God right here on earth sounds great. But the problem with that is it always kept the peace, the joy, just out of reach in the future. That was always going to happen when Christ returned. There was some discussion of the peace that could be in our hearts, but that was to come primarily through the obedience to the law of Moses, or the parts we picked out anyway. The Sabbath, the holy days, the food laws, tithing, first tithe, second tithe, and third tithe. And while the Holy Spirit was to be received upon baptism, its main job was really to help us obey those laws that we couldn't do on our own. And it was recognized that there's some mystery to this whole spiritual thing and the kingdom of God, but we tended to take things in the Bible quite literally. Except when Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is within you." You know, we really miss the significance of the present tense of that statement. The kingdom of God is within you. We miss the significance of the dimension beyond and the kingdom of God encompassing this 3D world. And we saw it as a literal land with a literal king. And lucky us, we were going to be the priests and the princes and the princesses and, you know, help Jesus rule. I mean, really, we did. I love this book, Putting on the Mind of Christ, by Jim Marion. He looks at the Christian belief through the integral developmental perspective, which I find fascinating. And he points out that in Aramaic, the language that Jesus spoke, the phrase "the kingdom of heaven" or "the kingdom of God" means God's sovereign presence. And just like Adam and Eve before the fall, Jesus walked always in God's sovereign presence and wanted us to do the same. And he saw in the kingdom of heaven a vision of a world that sees no separation between God and man, because that fall was all in here. People started to believe that they were separate from God, that we were separate from God, and we've all fell for it. We fell for it. That's the fall. We fell for it. What does it say in the Course in Miracles? Yeah, it was this crazy joke and forgot to laugh, and now look at us. Our ability to understand that kingdom of God was limited by the spiritual development of the leadership in that church. The stage of their development was an issue. And that was true in Jesus' day. They had leaders who, without their own realization of the kingdom, have allowed themselves to be looked upon by the world as spiritual authorities. And we can do that with anybody. We, you know, if someone teaches us something new, we can start looking up to them in an unhealthy way. And that's even true if it's your Course in Miracles teacher, because those are groups of peers. But we have a tendency to want to put somebody up on a pedestal. That can be true in the school of ministry. We have someone who's facilitating growth, but we can start to look at them as above or better or knowing more. So it's something that as humans we just need to be really cautious of. So I found that in the church that I was past part of, that limited level of development spiritually of the leadership limited the growth there. But I'm not there anymore. I'm not limited by that anymore. So I have to ask myself, what's limiting me now? What limits you? What limits the ability to embrace, experience, and share the kingdom of God? To enter the kingdom of God, according to the Apostle Paul, is to put on the mind of Christ, which just means seek a higher consciousness like we sing so often when we sing our thoughts or prayers. Where are you in your development of Christ consciousness, the experience of unitive consciousness with Source? I'm asking myself that. You know, a few months ago I spoke about terms, and I talked about faith in terms of spirituality, that it's the experience of the power of the presence of God. That's what faith is. And if in Aramaic the kingdom of God means God's sovereign presence, entering the kingdom of God and having faith are intertwined. Without the practice of presence, how do we have faith? What am I having faith in? It's just a story someone told me for me to believe in. But if I'm practicing the presence, I experience that reality, then my faith is something real. Jesus described that unitive experience in terms of the marital union between Christ and the bride, being the church or a body of believers, humans. The bride was to make herself ready to rise to the next level of consciousness, of love, of joy, of peace, of gentleness, of goodness, of humility, of patience, of kindness. Those are also called fruits of the Spirit. There's no law against those. So that law that we were so worried about previously is of no avail in this situation. It can't deny any of those, and there is no law to block those. And you know, the Bible says that Christ shall come when the bride is ready. And the title of my talk is When Christ Shall Come. Christ shall come when the bride is ready. So am I ready moment by moment? Do I daily seek Christ consciousness, which is the causal, what is also called the causal level? That is the level of divine mind from which creation occurs. Am I unified with divine mind in a way that creates the utopian that I want to see, which has to happen here first? In this heart. To think about that in terms of the whole world, though, my view is this happens when enough of us have put on the mind of Christ and risen to the level of Christ consciousness that the vibrational set point of the world lifts. And you know that experience of meditating with a group and how it magnifies the experience. We magnify each other's gifts. Everyone in here is so rich with so many different gifts, whether it's speaking and giving us insights, whether it's music and composing or singing that music in a way that connects us with it, or playing it on an instrument, or being a support, doing silent prayer for everyone that puts a card in that box, whatever that gift may be. Those gifts are magnified by the love, support, and engagement of all of us. And when we have Christ consciousness, when we have moved into that state of awareness that is nothing but love, we lift the rest of the world. And I like to consider that at some point there's a tipping point where it's so expanded and magnified that it just pulls the whole world in that direction. That calls for all of us who have heard the gospel, the good news that we are expressions of divine love, to step into the fullness of our own Christ consciousness. Christ comes for us every moment that we allow ourselves to lay down our burden of fear, of judgment, of resentment, and open our hearts to divine love. And in the midst of what may feel like a wave of injustice, we have the hardest job. I'm not going to say we shouldn't fight against social injustices, but the hardest job is to hold fast to that which we have, the faith once delivered. And what is faith? The experience of the power of the presence of God. Faith, not a doctrine, but the power of God's presence in us, the present and powerful mind of Christ in each of us.
I want to invite Carol up to join us on this song, if you don't mind. And Lucille, too.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lucille.
Then sings my soul, my soul.
Thanks, Lucille.